It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Would die for CJ. Everyone knows that.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
I still to this day can't believe that young man called in there. Just he was so matter of fact, man. What was that on In the Loop? What's that guy's name?
Dominic? Dom. Yeah.
Oh, Dom from Jersey?
See, yeah. I don't know Dom. That's the first time I heard
him. He brings it.
Bro, Don said, yeah, man. Hey, man, I'd die for CJ. Everybody knows that. I'd die for D'Amico.
I love D'Amico.
Now, Dom would not die for Bobby Floyd at that time. That was about 3 weeks ago. Dom would not.
And Dom dang was still, it, Bobby.
Dom said, he said he'd die for all of them, except for...
He'd lay it down, man.
He said, but he said it so, I'd die for CJ Stroud. Everybody knows that. Nah, bro, I didn't know that.
Nah.
I didn't, Dom, I didn't know you would die for him.
Yeah.
Everybody who's anybody knows that.
Not even to be hyperbolic about it did I know that.
No,
like, I didn't even know he was playing like that.
I didn't know that you would bring yourself back to life and then go ahead and take another death for D'Amico. Mm-mm. I didn't know... I didn't know that was where you were.
Imagine being Lazarus and then going to try to, you're going to die again for D'Amico.
Dive, like, you coming you, in there you, diving with you, that bullet.
You didn't been Lazarus and then woke up from the dead. And you going to go back for a coach?
I got you, Cap.
Come
not
on.
Just a coach.
It Cap. Couldn't have been a pleasant like experience going through that once, you know?
Well, I mean, you just don't feel it. Hopefully,
do you know that though?
Hopefully, it wasn't like a torturous death or something. I'm thinking, in my mind, I thought like it was in and out from Dom, and then he come back.
Dom, if you got resurrection power, brother, use it a little bit more wisely than that.
Got somebody in mind? You?
I'm just saying, hey man, I'm hoping that Dom does. You got to figure that somebody has passed on in his life that he could bring back, or do something better with himself if he brings himself back. Than to die again for the coach. Come on,
yeah,
Dom.
You ain't got to die for the coach.
Don't do that, dog.
But speaking of the first guy he was going to die for, C.J. Stroud, you've been saying it. You've been talking about it, and might as well have this conversation here. You think this, for in terms of leadership and where he is on this team, you think Sunday's a big, big day for C.J. Stroud?
Yeah, so similar, but even more so, I think amplified, but similar to D'Amico Ryan's, where like we're reaching a point where it's really this is the first real bit of adversity. I'm not talking about just being down in a game or having to strain a little bit to win a game or practice or whatever it is. I'm talking about the way you're viewed by and large, not just by the masses, but specifically by the people that root for you, that care about you the most. This is probably closest to the lowest that it's been, if it's not the lowest that it's been. And then we were just talking about how you evaluate the quarterback. I actually thought that CJ was fine leading up to that Green Bay game. And ever since that game is when these concerns, a lot of the concerns that Clint had been bringing up all year, to be honest with you, that I was kind of like, man, I don't know if I'm seeing that, Clint. I don't know if he's really hurting the team as much as the team is failing him. That's the way I thought about it up until we got into that Green Bay game. And I feel like, you take that game, and of course there's a Colts win in between there, but you take that game, then you take this past game against the Jets, which by the way was in front of a national audience, and now you've got this Lions game that's going to be in front of another national audience, and you have back-to-back duds. Like, I don't think CJ Stroud is in a position yet. I don't think he is at a point yet for as much as he's beloved and highly thought of as a young player. I don't feel like he's reached a point to where he can afford back-to-back nationally televised duds and survive it in a way to where we're still talking about CJ Stroud the way we had been before. So you still think
CJ is viewed the same way he was at the start of the season at this point? Because he still could be. I get the feel that it is CJ's running for his life. CJ can't get protection. CJ, I feel like it is still not, and not just from the fan base. The fan base,
yeah,
you know, CJ's on God mode. But nationally, I don't think it's gotten to a space where, like Clint was saying yesterday, CJ right now is killing this team with, you know, some of the decisions he's making. I do still feel like he is in that range. But I think you're right. He is at least taking some slippage.
Yeah, I think it's exactly that.
He's got another primetime game right after this.
Well, because again, we're talking about excuses. I feel like all of those excuses are legitimate and valid. It's just that so would be the criticisms of CJ himself. Like, I feel like you should be able to factor in all of these things that we talk about between the offensive line, especially on the interior, losing Nico Collins and the significance of that, and then you lose Stephon Diggs on top of that. Like, all of those things are legitimate reasons for a quarterback to not play as well as he potentially could. Like, your teammates are lesser. I feel like you are going to be lesser in a team sport. Like, it just goes without saying. It does not take away from the legitimate criticisms of holding the ball too long, getting happy feet, a little bit of anxiousness in the pocket because of the things that are going on around you, some of the inaccuracies that we've seen, like all of those things that are issues right now in his game. And I think that they're all fixable and correctable things. I still believe in CJ. But if they show up in back-to-back performances against a national audience, I do feel like you're going to start to see a little bit of questioning. Not so much the narrative changing of, hey, is he really that good? But hey, did we crown it too early? Were we a little hasty just because he had this really good rookie year?
Listen, my concern is not that stuff. His standing on how people feel about him. I mean, I'm sure some people are concerned about that, including himself. But that's where it is for me is with him. Like, I think CJ clearly sees, yo, like, there's some other young quarterbacks that is slide in here and starting to play ball.
Yep. New flavor of them just popped up on the TV.
Yeah. I think he sees Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
That's the talk. That's how they used to talk about me. They talk about Jaden Daniels, a serious MVP candidate.
Yeah.
Now we got people saying they take I've heard that. They take Jaden Daniels over CJ. I've seen that topic has started. The old take Mahomes out of it. CJ Stroud for about the last 6 months was winning that one.
Yeah.
I've seen people talk about Jaden Daniels. I think he sees that. And for me is, we started to see it in the Packer game first, and then I think he cleaned it up a bit in the Colts game. But I think we started to see it again is, and then you talked about, I think it's a form of leadership, is him holding it together.
Yes, that's exactly it.
And him holding it together, because I think it rolls out to his team. Like the Jets game, he got hit and he hit the deck, and he wasn't accepting help from his offensive lineman to help him up. Now, some of you also probably thinking to yourself, I don't want to accept no damn help from Laremy Tunsil getting up after I got hit either. But he's like, no, I got it. Like those small things, I think he has got to hold it together. And I think it's a lot of frustration. I think it's a frustration of not winning or not playing the way that he has a standard set in his mind, him not being able to do the things that he wants to do. And I think it's also a bit of an issue of, hey, people, like you said, new flavor of the month.
Yeah.
People looking at other places.
Yeah.
People are now coming out talking about maybe it ain't. I ain't the best young quarterback. I think it's all of it, and I think he has got to. I thought he did an excellent job against the Colts of handling it. I thought he was hit all over the place. He kept getting up. He kept doing the thing. He kept encouraging. He was the leader that he was. I think maybe took some. And listen, understandable that he is frustrated. But I think he took some steps where you could almost look and see, in a way, of showing up as teammates. or in a way of that. And he has got to refrain from doing that, as hard as it is.
I don't want the Texans to live in a space of where C.J. Stroud has got to save them from themselves. You know, like, offensive line is leaky. Let's just say, you know, theory out there, or just, you know, hypothetically speaking, that the defense isn't playing well or whatever it is. We don't have a balanced team, and so we've got a franchise quarterback, and that's going to save us. I don't want them to live in that space, but I do want the quarterback, the franchise quarterback, once you dub him great, or once you deem C.J. Stroud the next best thing.
And he deserves it.
Oh, I absolutely believe that. I'm with it. But I think the responsibility that comes with that is, hey, even though it's less than ideal to be in that situation, to be in that space, living there where I don't want you to live, you still have to be that guy that kind of raises everybody up.
Yes.
And not just gets pulled down with the tide, if that makes sense, right? Like, don't just go down with the sinking ship because the offensive line is leaky, the play caller, it seems like he might be in and over his head at the moment. And, like, no, you've got to now be the reason and the thing that elevates everybody, because that is the responsibility of not just a franchise quarterback, but one that we're elevating in the space that we're elevating C.J. Stroud at. So I think he's got to do that. At some point, it's got to turn, and this is the time. Like, the back-to-back nationally televised games, playing against, at home, by the way, playing against the best team, what a lot of people think is the best team in football, in the Detroit Lions. Like, this, that time is now to step into that mode, step into that role that people have kind of already anointed you into. I think he's got to do that.
Yeah, it's
even if it's unfair,
it's a big week with it.
Right,
no, it is unfair.
I think sometimes, you know, you can become a prisoner of your own success, a victim of your own success. And CJ, to me right now, is a little bit of a victim of his own success. With great power comes great responsibility. We hear that all the time. Like, I think that he's reached a point. Hey, we're talking about you potentially top five MVP candidate, all of that type of stuff. Okay, well, if you want to be that, you got to show up against the Detroit Lions on Sunday Night Football after giving a dud to an inferior, what was supposed to be at least an inferior football team on Thursday night, the New York Jets.
Yeah. All right, that's Brandon Scott. Catch all his work, sportsradio610.com. He's in for Clint Sterner today. I think I'm going to go home and watch Passenger 57 tonight. That's where I am. I just saw that pop up. It feels like a Wesley Snipes type of night.
Huh.
Wesley Snipes, very underrated.
Oh, I hope not. Like, if he's underrated, that's the Raiders problem, the person that's doing the rating.
Oh, I think,
you know what I'm saying?
Like, if you think of Wesley Snipes as an actor.
Blade.
No, but like, what level actor? Let's say if
oh,
and this is non-negotiable. If, like, Denzel Washington, you know, if that high level, if he's an A, where do you see a Wesley Snipes?
Let me ask it this way, because for me he's an A-lister, but let me ask you a different question: is Wesley Snipes black famous? Because white folks know Wesley Snipes. He's been in enough stuff. But I feel like the answer to the question that you just asked depends on what neighborhood you come from. Zip code. You know what I mean?
Who
your mom and them is.
It may, and I think that's where the underrated may come from.
Yeah.
Like Champ Slice said, he's black famous. I don't know that he's black famous.
I think he's black famous.
What's the?
He's not Morris Chestnut.
Like, you
black
think
famous?
Like, Blade is not, Blade is, nah, crossover.
And that was introduced to me pretty young. Like, I've known about Wesley Snipes for a good majority of my life.
It's not that you don't know him. It's
okay,
I know what you're saying because I'm in New Jack City, and I'm telling you, he was fantastic, but he was also great as Sidney Dean.
Absolutely. Sidney Dean is one of the greater movie characters I remember.
I think Sidney Cross, it is funny what people are texting in, like somebody slid in Money Train. That's down the list when I think about him and Woody. Like, when I think about him and Woody, it's clearly I'm thinking of.
But you see,
I'm thinking about Billy and Sidney.
I'd like to meet the person that pulled that one up, though.
Like,
you know what I'm saying?
I think Wesley is a B level actor.
I think he's only B-level because he's black famous.
But I think many people think that's high for Nino Brown.
I was going to say B-level actor at the most.
Well, at the most. So you...
Yeah. I'd say more of a C.
You're a C. See, that's why I think he's underrated.
Yeah, so fair enough.
At his role in Jungle Fever.
But he is an A-list actor. Make no mistake about
that. I don't think he's A-list.
What I'm saying is the majority is wrong. this happens sometimes.
I think A is.
This comes up.
Blade?
I mean, I think in the first Blade, he had like 25 total lines.
I'm trying to think of the most crossover, like Demolition Man. Like, I know a whole bunch of people. That's what I'm
never
looking like.
I don't got that one.
Yeah, no, you don't have
Demolition Man?
Him and Sly Stone?
No.
That's what people were calling me that, with the blonde hair. He had straight blonde hair.
Come on, man. You got Demolition Man.
Maybe I'll give that a watch tonight.
So, yeah, someone, Wesley Woosley, telling you, like him and Denzel are definitely not on the same level. Now,
That's not what we were saying.
But you said A-level. I can't throw that out there.
I think he's an A-list actor. I mean, all the movies that we just named, that is an A-list resume. I mean, Blade and White Men Can't Jump.
It's not an A-list resume.
Jack City, White Men Can't Jump, and Blade? Like, just those three by themselves. He is an A-list actor.
Hold on.
I might be biased.
Let's get in.
Because of who my mom is.
This is where you're talking about, because we're sliding into America's. Can you be A-list and have not been, like, nominated for an Academy Award?
Yes.
Like, who is an A-lister?
Yeah, we got to define this A-list thing.
I think that's where
our problem is.
Like, because, like, even, like, you know, it's a damn shame that some people hasn't. My girl, Angela Bassett from What's Love Got to Do With This, she did not take that one home. But she has at least been nominated.
Yes. Hell, Leo just got one for the first time, like, the last few years.
But Leo, yeah, he just got one. But he's been nominated. Right. But I'm
going to shut that down.
You got one, and I'll take it.
No, I am shutting that down by rejecting the notion that being nominated for an Academy Award is in any way validation. I just do not accept the validity.
Do you have an A-list actor?
No,
that you think that,
but
that falls
not, that's not how A-list works for me.
I know. I hear what you're saying, but I think every A-lister. That's why I don't believe Wesley Snipes is. I think every A-lister would fall in that category.
This is America, Jack.
That is at least fit. Snipes B+.
Black famous. It takes us back to my original point.
I think Wesley's more than black famous. Maybe there is some.
No. Do you see what I'm saying? He's an A-lister to me.
To you, because
because he's black famous. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So right. Yeah. It all comes back to that.
Yeah. Joseph said he might be black famous.
He's not only famous among black people, but he is black famous. Like, I don't think you're gonna find too many white folks that'll say that Wesley Snipes is an A-lister. That is unique to my experience in life.
I wonder how many black folks would say it. They think he's a B-lister. All right, coming up.
They would be wrong. And I think you're wrong about that, too.
A little stock up. I'm going to look some more. A little stock up, stock down. Coming up next right here live on The Drive.
Tootski, come on. Mm-hmm.
Ha! Mm-hmm. Ha! Every football season brings highs.
Yes! Rock and roll!
And lows.
Every week, though. There's no excuse for that.
Oh, no.
It's time to buy or sell.
I tell him to sell!
It's Texans Stock Up, Stock Down on The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I pump those numbers up. Those are rookie numbers in this racket.
Back with the Bills. Back with the Bills.
You like that? We in it.
There it is. All right, kick this sucker off, baby. A little stock up, stock down action, baby. Even without Clint's here, baby, kick this thing off. Tyler, what we got? A little stock up, stock down?
That is correct. We're checking the market for the Houston Texans heading into Week 10. Primetime game. We've been talking all about it. Arguably the best squad in the NFL coming into Houston and the Detroit Lions. So heading into the Week 10 Sunday Night Football matchup, and the Texans are going to be in them badass battle red uniforms. Ron, start with you. Let's start with some positive here. Which Texan or Texans are you currently in Week 10 buying some stock in?
All right, I'm going to go my stock up with Jarrett Patterson. I mean, he is like the backup quarterback, ain't he? My man Jarrett's been out there. He's out there for about, 3 to 4 plays. before he got knocked out with a concussion. And, I mean, he's out there 3 to 4 plays. I don't think there is an offensive lineman right now on the team that has a better standing that the fans like more than Jarrett Patterson just because he's only played 3 or 4 plays. Right? I think people are more confident right now in Jarrett Patterson than Laremy Tunsil. I think people are right now more confident in Jarrett Patterson than Titus Howard, than Shaq Mason, than Kendrick Green, than Kenyon Green, and then Juice Scruggs. I think people think he could play center and guard.
At the same time, yeah.
So my stock up is to Jarrett Patterson because he's the wanted man. And honest guy, like, this is a deal where, like, if he could stave this off for as long as he possibly could, like, they'll love his ass.
Yeah.
They will love his ass before he actually puts in. So my stock up is Jarrett Patterson.
Especially, I know it's your stock up, but especially after that trade deadline yesterday.
Oh.
Like, especially after they didn't do the thing.
That's a good point.
Like even more so now today than even yesterday.
Yeah, people lost their mind when they saw that Jarrett Patterson was out of concussion protocol.
Woo! Got 6'10 to talk about on the radio.
Yeah. Like, if anybody out there, you get some tape on him, boy, that'll get people going. You retweet that.
Yeah, I like that one, Ron. So Ron's stock up for the Texans right now is Jarrett Patterson, and I mean, why not? That one scoring drive that Patterson was in before he went down with a concussion, that is arguably the best we've seen the Houston offense look in weeks. So Jarrett Patterson for Ron. Our guest today, filling in for Clint Sterner, B. Scott.
Excuse me? Yes, sir.
Are you buying stock in, dude?
I'm going to go with the middle linebacker, Azeez Al-Shaair, and that has more so to do with the news of the day, and I guess so did Jarrett Patterson as well. But I think Patterson had more to do with also his play before his concussion. With Azeez Al-Shaair, it's just more so about the fact that their defensive leader is coming back, and I think there's some value to that. This is no shot at the guys that played in their replacement, Neville Hewitt, the Jake Hansons of the world. Like, they came in there and did what they had to do, but you went out and got Azeez Al-Shaair for a specific reason. I think his stock is obviously up because simply he is back from injury, and I think that's going to be a positive for the Texans.
I mean, we're seeing that these guys who have gotten injured, from Nico to Joe Mixon to all the, like, these guys who have gotten injured, and you get to see what happens when they're out.
Yeah,
there's stock a difference. It's flying way up when it
comes.
That
weak guy's head dropped tackle.
Yeah, for sure. And we've heard D'Amico and company say all year, talk about how Azeez, like you're saying, B. Scott, is the point guard of that defense for the Texans. All right, we're through with the positives. Time to sell a little bit. Stock down. Texans stock down in week 10. Let's run it back with you right here, B. Scott. What Texan or Texans are you selling on? Who are you not feeling right now on this Texan squad? Stock down.
So I'm going to go the opposite direction of Ron's stock up, whereas he focused on who I think we all believe is going to be the left guard once everything shakes out, and go to the other side with the right guard. I feel like everything that's been happening with Kenyon Green, from his play to his season-ending injury to the Texans' inaction in replacing him or figuring out that spot, all of the conversation around left guard specifically has taken away from the fact that, or I think taken attention away from Shaq Mason showing some regression, and the fact that, like, we'll do a catch-all of the interior offensive line, but we'll really just call out Kenyon Green. But if you want to use all the names,
Shaq over there getting lit up.
It would be Kenyon Green. It would be Shaq Mason.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would have a conversation about Juice Scruggs only being able to do but so much when the guards.
Those are rookie numbers in this racket.
Hey, the guards next to him are not really playing up to standard. So for as much as people are excited about Patterson coming back, I gotta feel like the way Shaq's been playing has to be a little bit disappointing, to the point to where his stock is down.
I saw him get bull rushed and completely turned sideways into CJ.
Yeah, I had a feeling we were gonna get something from the pass protection or lack thereof of the Texans on stock down. Real quick, Ron, swing it over to you. Stock down week 10 for these Houston Texans.
That's what old Kenyon Green with Richard Nixon said. You ain't got old tricky Kenyon to kick around anymore now that I'm gone. You got to put that on somebody else.
Straight up.
But he's,
it's
Ron. My stock down is Kamari Lassiter. Oh, man, they found him. Oh,
not the rook.
I am. This is a future play, too. I'm getting concerned for Kamari Lassiter.
He's been good.
He's been good.
But his bad has been.
But I'm just saying, he's been good. But he's another one that you're like, yo, when he's out, you see what's behind him. It's been rough. Like, teams have for some reason not gone his way. For some reason, they've decided at times to go more Stingley, it feels like.
Yeah.
And then Aaron Rodgers found him. And then Aaron Rodgers found him with Davante Adams on a critical fourth down, and he was on the ground at the line of scrimmage, untouched, and gave it up, not to mention other plays that were given up, not to mention there have been times where he's been run by. My favorite move, and he almost made this list last week, when Alex Pierce, where he was clearly beat by 10 yards in the middle of the field, and Anthony Richardson just decided to go Anthony Richardson and threw the ball like towards Kenyon or towards Kamari Lassiter for some reason. Yeah. And then he's down in the middle. It was a touchdown. And Kamari then had the audacity to stand up and pose as if he had done something.
Rook was feeling himself.
I just think we start to see. We got Jared Goff this week.
Yeah.
You have you got Lamar coming. You've got Patrick Mahomes coming. You've got Russell, or I don't know if they play the Steelers, but you got Tua potentially coming. You got guys that are coming that are going to not avoid him and see that and potentially exploit him. So I think for the future, Kamari better get ready, because I found it very odd that teams weren't going his way, it seemed like. But I think they might start going his way, because there were multiple times where the Jets went that way and was able to find action.
Trial by fire. I mean, that's trial by fire. Man, I can't be mad at the Rook for getting lit up by Davante Adams. But you bring up some good points.
I'm not mad at him. I'm just saying I think we're going to start seeing teams turn to that left side. I think we're going to start seeing teams roll that way.
I really would have liked for them to have traded for a corner. I really would.
Didn't have it, man.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I get the offensive line thing. A corner?
They got, well, Jeff Okuda.
Oh, yeah. So about that, I guess.
He's coming back. All right, coming up. I do, like, me and Brandon had an interesting topic of conversation about the Rockets, but who am I kidding? Let's be honest.
Let's be real.
I feel like there is a better conversation that has spun off of us trashing that conversation. We'll have that coming up next.
Let's go.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Okay.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
B. Scott today sent in some thoughts. Like, hey, man, what you feeling about the early start to old Alpi? How's Shingun been, man? How you feeling about the early start? How you feeling about Jalen Green? I was like, oh, there's some fun with this. Like, how this thing looking with the Rockets? By the way, they got the Spurs tonight. I this thing looking.
For like the 37th time in 5 days, it feels like.
Let's go, Rockets.
And I was like, oh, yeah, we can go into that. I got some thoughts on both. I said, well, it's as real as the day this is. Let's kind of pull the carpet back as we do on this show. Some of you pull curtains. We get a little bit more aggressive and pull the carpet back.
Hell yeah, we do.
I just, and I know this is an interesting audience to ask this question to, because I'll just be quite blunt. I think, especially in a lot of markets, we target certain groups that aren't certain groups that are the NBA fan. I mean, just straight up. And that's how we kind of build our audiences. So this is a tough group, but your fans, 713-572-4610, 5-Hour Energy fan text line. Is the NBA in trouble? Is the NBA in trouble? Because I saw the deal where they're comparing the World Series numbers this year that included the New York Yankees and the Los Angeles Dodgers with Shohei and Aaron Judge both in the games.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if there's a better matchup that could be had ratings-wise for Major League Baseball. And it was like at a 19-plus rating. And then they compared it to the NBA Finals last year, which was at 11, just under 12. And that was between the Boston Celtics and Dallas Mavericks. The biggest stars in that game, Jason Tatum, excuse me, and then Luka. You think the NBA is in trouble, especially like the way that Major League Baseball was in trouble like 5 or 10 years ago? Those were conversations. Like, right, there was a deal where, I know you've listened to it, if you get around the All-Star break, you're here all across the country. Hey, how do you fix baseball? Everybody would do that when there's a break. How you fix baseball? Let me tell you how you fix it. I feel like it's gotten a little bit more healthier, especially they've embraced the regional sport thing, and money is coming back in.
The national pastime.
Do you think the NBA is in trouble? And I see some people coming in, Wesley Woosley, the NBA is trash now. Of course the NBA is in trouble. We got a Make-A-Wish kid, Bronny James, doing whatever he pleases. You're going to stop talking about my godson. It's just not good entertainment anymore. Everybody's doing the same thing, shooting threes. All right, do you think, and I know you watch it, and I'm coming to Tyler here in a second, do you think the NBA is in trouble?
I do. I think it's in trouble with the casual sports fan. I think it's in trouble with the fan who doesn't actually love basketball, but they just like live sporting events. Like they'll just watch any of the main sports that we grew up with. I'll just call it football, basketball, and baseball. If you call yourself just sort of a generic sports fan, a lot of what we're seeing on the text line, I think, rings true, or at least has kind of played itself out in what we're seeing, how people are responding to the game. I think the NBA has a couple of different issues. The game has changed, and a lot of people are, for whatever reason, bored with the style of play. And then on top of that, the NBA got itself caught up in the culture wars that are, you know, prevalent across the country, I would say. So between the two things, I would call it more of an identity crisis. I think the NBA, not that they don't know who they are, but perhaps they might be rethinking who they should be.
NBA's are all whiny bees. It's soft now too. I think all sports are probably softer than when we watch them.
But that's a real. Even my dad says that. It's soft. They cry. Even the crying about calls or politicking with the officials. I mean, you got people that really rubs the wrong way.
My dad's go to is I haven't watched NBA and I don't plan to since Jordan's days were done.
That's insane.
You hear that though. But people are that, and I think the audience, and not a surprise of what is targeted in sports radio, the audience that we have, I think there are a lot of people who share the same notion of what Tyler's dad just said. But I would say, doesn't your dad complain about that on hits across the middle in the NFL? Does your dad complain about that with quarterback hits that are 15 yards? But it does feel like the NBA is taking a harder brunt of it with certain people.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yes.
I would say so.
Tyler,
for sure.
Why don't you watch basketball? Why don't you watch the NBA?
I watch basketball, just not as much as you two in there right now.
But
I mean, before the Rockets completely imploded, and it's looking like they're on the come up now, hopefully, fingers crossed. But before the Rockets implosion and Harden showing up in the fat suit and all
the Harden years, you were hard.
I was plugged in on most regular season games for the majority.
Because the time we have been working together over the last four or so years, like I feel like the NBA is like the sport that you don't really pay attention to.
And I think now that's fair.
You've been betting. You bet on it.
I bet on it.
But I don't know how much you watch it.
Yeah, and I think that's completely fair and accurate.
I just
and
wonder, I would is it say the Rockets that has turned
yes,
you off?
I would say to that specifically, it's specific to our geographic location and the fact that you've had the Houston Astros for the better part of a decade dominating their big three sport. You got football, which is always going to be big to some degree in Houston, Texas, but now you got a quarterback and they're on the rise. And it was very easy and natural for me for the Rockets to just kind of slide in that back seat. And yeah, I peek up at them and I'm doing more so already this season. But I think it was just a natural kind of, like, for lack of a better term, depth chart of my fandom. And it just, I didn't have them on the tube all that often.
I wonder if the Rockets were. Because I'm gonna be honest with you, I'm gonna tell you the truth, and especially from the I've said repeatedly the sports radio audience, because the Houston sports radio audience is not actually what the Houston sports like doesn't generally speak to the Houston sports fan. Because I go in different areas, and the NBA is talked about as much as the NFL is, if not more.
Yeah, the Venn diagram would be off a little bit.
But I don't think that those people naturally, you know, are crossing over to the sports radio market that we target. But I think there have been some things, like I think load management became a thing.
Yep.
I think now it's a narrative that is shown bigger, that actually load management has gotten better. I think it's a narrative that is,
yeah, I mean, they made rules against it, like the 62 game rule, or yeah, whatever, to become an all NBA player, the in season tournament. Like, yeah, they've done things to try to incentivize players.
Yeah, like LeBron and AD played 75 plus games. Like
yeah,
that's it. Jokic plays every night. You know what I mean? It's legit injuries. I mean, there's Kawhi Leonard, but his legs died 7 years ago.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's a different place. But I do think what you said, the cultural part, and I see some people texting in on that. Someone texted in, the elephant in the room, NBA way too political, LeBron, Popovich, Kerr. And look, I'll be honest with you. I think we saw a resounding answer to this last night.
Yeah, they're going to have to rethink all of that.
I think I now, whether you agree with it or not, and I got no problem with those guys coming out and speaking to social justice. It's been done forever, from Muhammad Ali to Bill Russell to forever. But clearly, as we saw how the country moved last night, I think the NBA, the human penis, Adam Silver, and the rest of the game, I think they have got to have serious conversations of where we're going to move.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a big part. I think there are some people who, it's a safe space. You can text in. I mean, just don't be racist. You can text in and say, like, yeah, man, I see my favorite word, they too woke. And I do think there is some rethinking of how they are going about, because they embraced it.
Yeah.
They embraced it, which, it's fine. I'm not telling them they should change it, but I think clearly off of maybe the drop in ratings for, I think, a lot of things, but from what we saw last night with where the country is moving, we saw, I think you brought it up, we talked about this a little bit, the NFL kind of slid back,
yep,
a little bit. They still got in racism on some fields, but not as much and not as prevalent.
I think the difference, though, between the NBA standing and the NFL, the NFL's product is desirable enough and of a certain quality. I think people like it enough, love it enough to look the other way. the NBA for the reasons that we got to, aside from the culture wars. They've got all those other issues on top of it. I think the culture wars reinforce some of the ways that people already feel about the league.
And it's logic. Like,
they're lazy. They don't want to play. Yeah. They whine too much. Oh, and by the way, they want to force their politics down our throat.
And why people think they're more soft kind of runs into that.
Yep. They're woke, so there's, you got these snowflakes running around out here making $60 million a year to not play. It's a lot of that.
This one, I just can't get. The Rock, I'm a Rockets fan, not an NBA fan. The product is trash, and if the Rockets aren't good, I'm not watching.
Yeah, no, I mean, we just have to agree to disagree on that, man.
It's trash.
I went and purchased two years ago. I was finally able to really kind of afford it in the budget. Went and purchased NBA League Pass.
Oh, my God.
Got the League Pass. I'm watching games on my phone.
They shoot and make too many threes. Like,
I personally like it.
Like, it's amazing to me how efficient these guys can be from three, except for Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, man, how he didn't get the...
He keeps going. Somebody texted him, woke, not work. I think the NBA is going to stop ignoring it and at least have a conversation. I'm not saying they got to change, but that is clearly, we're seeing that is on notice and potentially maybe a point of why things have maybe gone in a different direction.
You need any other evidence? Look, this text that we just got of... Hey, I'll watch every minute of the NCAA. Both of you and I both love college basketball.
It's not anywhere on the level.
The idea that college basketball is of the same or even similar quality to the NBA is absurd. You're looking and thinking about something else, man.
Yeah. All right, coming up, Dirty's Daily, and we got to get to the bottom of this, and I don't think that needs to be let off the hook. I just need an update. What the hell is going on with Christian Harris? He is well past the Kyle Tucker time frame. We'll discuss that next.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.